and doing racial casts in this country. It is not easily done.
I want to ask you to stay after the show so we can continue to talk about this and some of the players and also your own pursuit of a school for your daughter, not in Alabama, but here in New York. Nicole Hannah-Jones is the award-winning reporter for The New York Times Magazine. We'll link to her piece, The Resegregation of Jefferson County. That does it for our show. Democracy Now!'s Juan Gonzalez is in California, Los Angeles. Check our website for his book tour. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
This is WHFR Dearborn, WHFR.FM, making waves.
What are you doing Saturday from 2 to 4 p.m.? Why don't you stop on by so that we can blend? Make a date with the diva. On my show, Lyrical Infusion, each and every Saturday, I bring the lyrics out to play. So I'll meet you here at WHFR 89.3. Saturdays from 2 to 4 p.m. is the place to be. Or listen live at WHFR.FM. It's truly a classic, not a trend. Ooh, I can't wait. Don't be late. At WHFR, we make waves.
Good afternoon. It is 1 o'clock, and welcome to the new WHFR Journal. You're listening to WHFR Dearborn. We are broadcasting live from the campus of Henry Ford College, right here on Evergreen Road in beautiful Dearborn, Michigan. I'm Susan McGraw. It's a pleasure to have you as a part of our listening audience today. We thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your consistent listenership of this radio show, and we're looking forward to presenting some information that we think you'll find valuable, maybe on a personal level, maybe on a professional level, and certainly for the betterment and benefit of our community. We've got lots to talk about today, and we'll look forward to introducing some new guests as well as some topics of discussion. So, jumping in for the third official week of the new WHFR Journal, I am joined in studio with Mr. Alan Mazurek, who is working very hard to keep the radio station sounding great. And Alan, it's already been a crazy day, but good afternoon, and thanks for being here.
And good afternoon. What a beautiful afternoon it is outside, actually. So.
Oh, I know. We're lucky because it's a lot worse than a lot of other places around this nation and this world.
This is true.
Goodness
yeah.
gracious. Yeah. I just texted my sister before I came in. She lives in Florida, southern Florida, but on the Gulf side, and just checking to make sure things are okay down there. We know the evacuation process is just about wrapped up, so they say, and that awful storm out there has sort of reduced just a little bit in terms of the intensity, but it's still nothing to mess with. So I'm happy to know that there is a system in place, and should, God forbid, something like that ever happen around here, we know that our community takes these types of things very seriously, and I don't mean just our campus community, but the city of Dearborn has always been very good at maintaining appropriate plans of action for weather disasters, emergencies, things like that. So we feel pretty good that that system is up and running here in our own community. So, yeah. We are excited also to be talking about some things, speaking of community support, that relate to making sure that every member of our population is involved in a positive way with this college campus. And we know that you probably don't have every tidbit of information about what we're doing here at Henry Ford College, and therefore, we like to take some opportunity to get you up to speed on some things going on. Well, I've got something that is really cutting edge, like literally just happening and being created right now. And Alan, you're going to find this interesting too, I'm sure. We have just created, in the history of Henry Ford College, I've never had anything like this, we have officially now an Arab American community liaison between the college and the community. And coincidentally, we just happen to have the man who is in charge of this now right here in our studio.
Funny how that works out,
I know,
right?
What a crazy coincidence. So we want to welcome mathematics professor Sam Bazzi, longtime professor here at Henry Ford College, and now wearing the hat of the Arab American Community Liaison. Sam, that is quite, I think, quite an honor to be named the first person to be wearing this hat and walking in some really important shoes. We're so glad you're here and look forward
to
learning about this. Tell us a little bit about how this whole thing happened.
All right. Yeah, first of all, thank you, Susan, for giving me the opportunity to come here and talk about this exciting and new position. You know, Dr. Cynthia Glass, the VP of Human Resources, is an advocate of the promotion of diversity and equity here at the college. So at this idea was brought up by Dr. Glass at a meeting with the president, and I think Dr. Lisa Kaprou at that time was present, and members of the Arab Cultural Studies program were present at that time. The idea was received very well by everybody, was supported by the president, and my name came up after that as a person who has the qualifications and is fit, you know, for the position, as someone who is able to communicate, you know, in both languages, Arabic and English, and someone who resides, you know, in Durban. So I got the call from Dr. Glass's office, and you can guess that I did accept, you know, the offer because I'm here already.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're glad you're here. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you.
This is, as I understand it, designed to sort of, using the metaphor of bridge building, sort of bridge, strengthen the bridge that already exists between the college and our Arab community. We have so many organizations that are doing wonderful things in other aspects of education, what with Access, the Arab American National Museum, et cetera. How do you see this position and your role now sort of filling in the gaps and strengthening that connection?
As you mentioned, Susan, I think the ultimate goal is to promote, you know, the mission of our college within the Arab American community. And in particular, the part of the mission that talks about fostering diversity and responding and anticipating the needs of our stakeholders, and not only anticipated their needs by exceeding their expectation. So this is the ultimate goal. And as you mentioned, we will be able to achieve this by continue to build or nurture personal relationships within the community, and start or continue our dialogues on educational issues and policies, and collaborate, you know, on projects and events with key Arab American organizations that include, you mentioned some of them already, Access, the Arab American National Museum, the Arab American Chamber of Commerce, and of course the Durban Public School System.
Sometimes, and I'm not saying that this happens here at our college, but sometimes in academia, a position is created, and it sounds very exciting and very important, and then the position just sort of exists in name only, sort of on the books, and not a whole lot gets going through that creation. Sometimes it's like, oh, we've got this new job on the books, and that's good enough. But I understand that this position has with it just a whole number of job descriptions.
That is correct.
Will you tell us specifically some of the components that will make this really help our community versus just looking good when we talk about it?
And definitely. And I can add something. The line of duties that we jotted down together, you know, Cynthia and I were in line, you know, just of our mission, you know, college mission statement. We have the mission statement, you know, just on the other side as we worked out the details, you know, of the job description. There are quite a bit, you know, just of duties to list, but I'm going to list, you know, some of them. There is one that I already talked about, is to develop channels of communication and collaboration projects, you know, between HFC and key Arab American organizations. The other one is to work with our existing Arab Culture Studies program on projects and outreach events. Create a diversity and inclusion web page, and we're thinking, you know, just within the web page to create a calendar where we can post all the events, you know, in the community, post information for students and faculty for volunteer opportunities in the community, and any other information that pertain to diversity and inclusion. Promote our college events, programs, and activities. Report concerns from the community. Now there is someone, you know, just who can be the liaison, you know, just to do that if there are any concern. And there is another thing that the college wants to do something about is promote hiring opportunities, you know, just within the Arab American community in order to increase, you know, the pools of applications when jobs, you know, become available. And maintain a record of Arab American community resources and other duties as we feel, you know, just, you know, just emerge and become necessary.
Yeah, they call that other duties as assigned, and as they put it on the bottom of the sheet every time, and that's where you end up spending most of your your work time, that's for sure. But it's good to know that you're open for that, and it really does sound like an awful lot of positive energy going into this position, which is wonderful. I can't think of a better person to be bringing positive energy any job, frankly, on campus. But you're already, you know, you teach mathematics,
yes,
which to me, other than maybe rocket science, is probably the scariest field. Math is not my strong suit, but you're already a very busy man. You're involved in a number of different things here on campus to begin with. Why personally did you decide to add this to your, you know, to your list of duties?
I didn't mind it because I think it is. I'm an advocate of making sure that our college is a welcoming place, you know, to everyone. And I thought, you know, just that this task, this mission will be a great step forward, you know, just in fulfilling, you know, just this mission. And being, you know, an Arab American myself, so I thought, you know, just I will be able, you know, just to do good job given my involvement in the community, and given also my expertise and work, you know, in the Arab Cultural Studies program. We're already doing, you know, just a lot of projects that feed into what the college, you know, wants to achieve, you know, by creating this position. And the college was kind enough also to offer me some release time, you know, just of doing this. So I won't be doing a full-time teaching.
Okay, so a little bit of a reduced load.
Yes, I got a reduced load, yeah, definitely. But I couldn't see myself at the moment because I love teaching, so I wanted, you know, just to teach a couple of classes, you know, just at least.
Good. Nice to be able to do that. I'm sure the students appreciate having you in the classroom as well. On a regular basis, let's say, you know, the first month of this job, now that it's kicking in officially, and I'm sure some of it we're going to figure out as we move forward, but what are some of the very immediate things that you plan to do or maybe have already started doing as the Arab American community liaison for Henry Ford College?
Oh, definitely. First of all, I'm going to start making visits, you know, to the community, and I'm making a schedule of the visits. And that's going to be a lot of visits. It's a big community. There are a lot of organizations, you know, in the community. So that's going to keep me, you know, just busy because we need to start the dialogue, you know, or continue the dialogue that we have started already. However, there are two exciting events that we have already in place. One event, you know, is going to happen on September 29 here at the Adri Auditorium at the college. And if you don't mind, I can say a few words,
please.
About the events. The first one is called Marketplace Stories, Folk Tales from the Arab World. It's a performance that was developed with the support of the Arab American National Museum and performed by the Wild Swan Theater Group at Washtenaw Community College. It is sponsored by the Arab Culture Studies Program, by the Council of World Cultures here at the college, and the newly created program, the American Sign Language program. It is a unique and a creative way of telling stories. The idea of this event is to bring people closer together, to entertain, educate, and we're hoping preserve culture, and we're hoping that it would lead to the initiation of a conversation inside the classroom about culture and diversity. There's a unique thing about the program. It's going to be performed in two languages, believe it or not. The first one is going to be English, but the other one is going to be American Sign Language.
Oh, wonderful.
So we're going to invite people with hearing disabilities to the event. Our main target was elementary students, but we are inviting adults and high school students already. I already have in line about 250 students from the elementary schools to attend. And we have 100 high school students in addition, you know, just to faculty and staff. So that will be an exciting event, and we're looking forward, you know, to it. The other event, it's called the 1001 Inventions Exhibit at the Michigan Science Center. We will be inviting 200 students to attend, 100 from Henry Ford College, and another 100 maybe probably senior high school students. About this event, the visitors of this event will get to explore the cultural and scientific achievement of pioneering men and women of different faiths and culture during the golden age of Muslim civilizations and their contributions to the modern world. It's a huge exhibit. It took, you know, just the planners, you know, just a year, you know, just to plan for this event. It's an international event. The idea of this event also is to promote diversity, intercultural dialogue, social cohesion, and there is also another very important goal. It's aimed at to inspire students to pursue careers, you know, in STEM and science fields while sparking innovation and creativity. So, as I said, there will be 200 students along with faculty and staff and administrators. Prior to the event, we're going to have students, you know, come to our FORFA auditorium for two presentations, one by a science historian, maybe from Wayne State or University of Durban, to give an overview of the exhibit, and another one by our local art historians, Dr. Hashim Al-Tawil, who's going to pick, you know, one aspect of the event and talk about it. And then after the presentations, you know, we will head to the Michigan Science Center. We're hoping that this also will promote, you know, our college as a first choice college from students who are going to come and visit us, you know, prior, you know, just to come into the college. So I think it would be a good marketing event, you know, just for students to explore and see our college. And in the meantime, you know, just promote, you know, the mission of our college by promoting diversity and inclusion.
Wow. So you're already a very busy man as it relates to this new position. The two events that you mentioned, the first one here on our campus, was that on the 29th
and
of September?
Yeah. And the other one, November 16th.
November 16th.
And if you don't mind me, if there are students, you know, just listening to me now, if they are interested in attending the event, the college is going to pick up the tab. So there is no cost to the students, whether Henry Ford students. And I would like to thank, you know, Dr. Glass, Holly Diamond, and Dr. Nealon, you know, for their support and that to let us, you know, just proceed with this event. So if there are students interested, please contact me or contact, you know, Dr. Mike Deher so we can reserve your spot, because it's going to be a maximum of 200, you know, just people attending the event.
So it's probably going to sell out, if you will.
Yeah, we hope so.
That's good. Well, how can people reach you if someone is hearing what you're saying right now and saying, I want to tell my daughter about that, or I want to get my grandson involved in that?
They can contact me, you know, just via email, you know, at sbazi@hfcc.edu, or call my office at 313-845-6473, or feel free to visit me in person. I'm located in the Health Careers Building. My room is G120.
Okay. Again, so 313-845-6473. direct yes. contact, or sbazzi, B-A-Z-Z-I, at hfcc.edu. Or you're kind enough to give your office location again. That's
sure.
What
G120.
G120. Oh, sounds fantastic.
We keep changing, you know, just the letter name. So for now, it's G.
Okay, there you go. So I'm wondering, Sam, when it comes to the whole sort of the whole big picture of this, do you see this as something where you expect, to sort of accomplish very specific tasks, and that's sort of how you measure the success of the program? Or are you going in a year to sort of reevaluate how things are going with the powers that be, all those names that you mentioned, and then decide how to re-navigate it? Or what's the measurement of success here?
Yes. Be honest with you, Susan, we haven't thought of a quantitative methods, you know, to measure this. But I can tell you, as I mentioned earlier, when we jotted down, you know, just the details and the duties, you know, of the position, we had the mission statement, the college mission statement in mind. I believe by fulfilling, you know, the duties of the job, if I'm able, you know, at the end of the semester or the year to put a check mark, you know, under that duty, I think that would be considered, you know, as a success. But in the meantime, later we might consider, you know, some other tools, you know, in a quantitative way, you know, to measure the success, you know, just of this position, and whether, you know, we've been able, you know, just to fulfill, you know, just what this position entails.
Okay. And when we talk about the community, you mentioned the Arab community in Dearborn, and we talk about the college community and the sort of the bigger, the Dearborn community at large, it really does make sense for everybody to be communicating, I think, and where there's an area that seems a little less represented or less well represented, to try to reach out a little bit more. How much of a relationship right now, in your estimation, does the Dearborn Public School system, the high schools here in our community, how connected are they, in your estimate, to Henry Ford College? Because I certainly know in our classes, and Alan teaching here on campus as well, in our program of telecommunication, as we get more specialized, we don't see as many Arab American students, but in some of the more our general studies classes, we even have the high schoolers coming in with the, you know, dual enrollment and that kind of thing, and some making their way into some of our more technical classes, if you will. But could you speak to that just for a moment?
Yes. Be honest with you, I cannot give you a concrete answer, you know, just how well, you know, just we are connected. I'm sure there is some kind of connection. How strong, you know, this connection is yet to find out.
I see.
I think I will be able, you know, just to find out as I start sure. My visits. And my goal is to strengthen, you know, just the dialogue. If there is, as I mentioned earlier, if you heard me earlier saying, you know, either start or continue our dialogue. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we have some dialogues, you know, just are going on at the moment. But now there is a person who is dedicated, you know, just to work out the details and continue, you know, those dialogues.
Right. How often will you report your information? Will you be talking at the Board of Trustees meetings or with the
I communicate
president?
With Dr. Glass on a regular basis, okay. You know, via email for any task, you know, just I wanted to do, you know, just I consult with her. But I think I will be producing, you know, just a report at least once a semester to the president, I think, and the cabinet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Well, we're very excited that you're the person that's going to be leading the way as the Arab American Community Liaison for Henry Ford College, Sam. And I know that that great things are going to be happening because of this. So we also applaud our own campus administration for thinking strongly enough about this to create a position like this. And we're glad that they selected you, because
thank you very much.
Great connection there. So we appreciate that. Phone number and email address one more time for somebody that wants more information.
Yeah, it's sbazzi at hfcc.edu, sbazzi at hfcc.edu. And the phone number is 313-845-6473.
Okay. All the best, and stay connected with us, and let us know how things are going, will you?
Thank you very much, and thanks again for giving me this opportunity, Susan and Alan. I appreciate that. Okay. Have a great day.
Very good. It's our pleasure. We've got more on the way with the new WHFR Journal. It's about 1:23. You're listening to WHFR on 89.3 on your FM radio dial, or maybe you're listening on the web this afternoon at WHFR.FM. Either way, we're glad you're here. Susan McGraw here along with Alan Mazurek, and we will talk again in just a moment.
Dearborn Symphony is getting ready to kick off their 2017 season, and to celebrate, Henry Ford College is hosting a big band benefit gala. Remember the big band music of the past? Well, we are bringing it back on Saturday, September 9th at the Pavilion on the Henry Ford College campus. The gala kicks off at 6 p.m. with a martini bar, followed by a wonderful dinner and wine reception. Music for the evening is provided by the Henry Ford Big Band with very special guest, Karen Newman. There will also be dance demonstrations throughout the evening by Pamela and Alex from Dance Sport Academy of Michigan. So show your support for the Dearborn Symphony and enjoy a fabulous evening of fun, food, cocktails, big band music, and dancing. That's Saturday, September 9th at 6 p.m. at the Pavilion on the campus of Henry Ford College. For information and reservations, visit DearbornSymphony.org.
Tune in to WHFR.FM 89.3 for the Highway 61 program. Fridays 2 till 4, DJ Kitty Love will play the best in blues with new blues releases, as well as local blues artists. Friday 2 till 4 on the station Making Waves, WHFR.
I rescued Toast from a shelter in 2011. I love Toast because she's a lazy diva. Toast does whatever she wants, obviously. She's sleeping right now. She's so loving. She's so comforting. When I walked into the shelter, I knew right then that she was special.
Toast, Instagram star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Start yours today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Thanks for staying with us. 1:26 on a beautiful Friday afternoon. You are listening to the new WHFR Journal right here on 89.3 on your FM radio dial. Many thanks, by the way, to Bill Wright earlier today for filling in for our own Joe Sullivan with that big band programming that we know that so many of you love to enjoy on a Friday morning. And it is certainly a great way to start the day. Love that music. If you're interested in learning more about what we have to offer on some of our other time slots here at WHFR, don't hesitate to check out our website, WHFR.FM. You'll find an interactive grid talking about all the different formats that we offer, details on our DJs, our announcers, and so on. And we, like we always say, Alan, there's really something for everyone here at WHFR. Speaking of diversity, quite a bit of a programming diversity. And we do that on purpose, you know. We have people that sometimes ask us, well, why aren't you just a jazz station? Why aren't you just a blues station or just a classical station? Well, Our mission for over 32 years now has been to provide programming that is either little else or not at all heard on the Detroit radio dial. And there are so many wonderful formats out there that are not being represented, local, independent music and talk. And we made that commitment many years ago to be that voice for new artists, for local artists, as well as for formats that just for whatever reason no longer get or have not ever received commercial recognition. We know commercial radio has to take it a little bit, less chances. They take fewer chances because they have, sponsors and commercials that they have to solicit in order to survive. We're lucky. The college helps contribute to our mission by paying a major portion of our operating budget every year. So we're very grateful to our Board of Trustees and to our college administration for allowing us the opportunity to be who we are and to have carved out this special place in the Detroit radio programming. And your class, the yeah. broadcast journalism students, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, they contribute to that in yes. a very strong way. So for the fact that we are, well, officially the end of week two, moving into week three of classes here on campus, what might we be expecting soon within the next maybe 2 to 3 weeks here in our airwaves?
This is where it starts to get real for all of them, because they're learning how to put thoughts and ideas to paper and how to present it to an audience. Specifically with how we do that particular class, and we do these, newscasts. I think we're going to do them on Tuesdays this semester, okay. just based on where the schedule falls. The whole idea is to get them to learn how to present information in a thoughtful, comprehensive way using journalistic standards, but also to do it in a way that respects the fact that you're not reading a newspaper where if you don't understand something, you can go back and reread it. Mm-hmm. Even to a certain extent with TV news, where a lot of us have DVRs, you can always rewind and see something again. For a listener who only gets to hear something once, and it's a different way of communicating. So that's kind of their challenge for the next couple of weeks. I told them that, after week two, that this is when I break out my red pen when they start to write stuff. And red is good, especially at this time of the year, because it means they're going to learn and they're going to start to understand how we write for radio specifically, because that's always been my background. But then we sort of transition that into other things as well. So.
Nice. Very nice. And that's why it's called broadcast journalism.
Correct.
As opposed to journalism.
Well, and it has changed even in the, 5 years or so. I mean, yes, we've been in a smartphone era for 10 years now. But it has completely changed the news universe, both in terms of how broadcast journalists interact with their audience, what the audience brings to them, crowdsourcing information, all that stuff. It is completely different. I mean, not any big surprise that most of the students, when they come into the class, probably don't spend a lot of time listening or watching television news or radio news, but they spend a lot of time consuming news, whether they realize it or not. It's everything that's being fed to them on their Twitter. It's things that are forwarded to them on Facebook and through other social media accounts and things like that. And it's all part of this this ecosystem where we're trying to teach them the difference between stuff that is credible and ethically sourced and, people just sharing information without any... what's the word I'm looking for? Without any knowledge of what they're doing, I guess. It's a poor phrase, but I guess it'll do.
I understand completely. So we might have somebody listening right now saying, "What Google? What and what are you? What is this Twitter? What are you talking about?" And that's okay too. That's okay too. And that's one of the reasons why we're here, to talk about topics, just to share some of these things in we believe expected an ethical and appropriate way. Some things represent the college. Some things represent our community. We try not to get too opinionated.
Well, whether you're talking social media or not, I think they're well used to, I would hope at this point, the fact that, the internet was kind of a levelizer in terms of being able to find information. Maybe you had, websites you would go to every week, whatever they are. And certainly, the WHFR Journal throughout its history has relied heavily on stories that were sourced through a lot of different internet sources. And obviously, it's much more immediate and evolving every single day, I guess, to a certain extent, in terms of social media and your smartphones and stuff like that.
Yep. Well, very well put. I tried to send somebody, a colleague, something on Google Calendar the other day. I'm like, oh, I'll just shoot it to your calendar. And they're like, my what? Like, I only use this to make phone calls, and that's it. And so understanding that there is this, I don't want to call it a divide necessarily, but there's this range, let's put it that way, that we know people fall somewhere in there to receive their news and to make decisions of how they want to spend their money and how they want to spend their time. We want to try to be a voice to represent all of that in some capacity or the other, which, you know, sort of full circle brings us back to our eclectic programming and what we call block variety. And that means every 2 to 3 hours, it's a very different and very unique style of programming. But for the journal, we want to give you information that we think is important to hear. Well, I have some very important information, and fortunately a representative to talk a little bit about this particular topic. Mandy Earle is joining us now in studio, and she is the Student Activities Associate representing Henry Ford College, and really the voice at this point of what we call the Hawk's Nest. And Mandy, welcome. We're so glad to have you here. We're excited to learn a little bit about what the Hawk's Nest is designed to do here on campus. And then let's specifically talk about what kind of help and support we can provide as a community.
Okay, great. Thank you, Susan. I appreciate you having me on to speak today. The Hawk's Nest is a wonderful resource on campus to our students. It's our student food pantry on campus. It's available to any student here on campus as long as they're enrolled in at least one credit hour. They can come over and use the service once a week. It's set up pretty much like a grocery store, so it's like they're going into a grocery store. They shop the shelves for whatever items that they need, and then we bag it up for them, and they go on their way. So it's really they get to select what they want, not us picking out what they should be eating. And we started in December of 2015, so we're pretty new right now. So we're still trying to get the word out there and let the students know about this wonderful resource for them. We've had a lot of students that find out about it really late in their career here and like, oh, I wish I would have known about this earlier. So definitely great to be able to speak right now to everybody and kind of help get the word out there. We are always looking for donations to help support it. So that's monetary donations or any type of food, non-perishable food, and also personal care items.
Okay. For members of our community that aren't quite following, why do we need a food pantry on a college campus? Give us a scenario or two, will you, how this really literally is benefiting students in need?
So this is actually something that's new on campuses right now. Administrators are really starting to notice this, and it's growing on a lot of campuses. Some students are really struggling on being able to afford their books and also be able to buy themselves food. So they're kind of having to make a choice of what's more important to them. They're not able to focus on their studies because they're worried about where's their next meal coming from, or their stomach is sitting there grumbling while they're in class. So that's where their focus is how am I going to eat today? So research has been done to determine like how frequent this is happening. So it is happening more frequent than anyone would actually believe is happening. So it came about that, you know, this is a resource that we think is really needed here on our campus. And we've had a number of students actually say that we helped them get through their semester or get through their time while they were here. I had an outside community member actually come in contact with a student who mentioned the Hawk's Nest to her and said that it helped her get through college here and she wouldn't have made it without it. So
this is real, sort of real life things. And when there are those that are thinking, well, if you can afford going to school, you can certainly afford to eat. I mean, come on, that's crazy. But as a teacher myself, I see it. I know exactly what you're talking about. And this resource, while relatively new, I think hopefully as once it does continue to kind of get the word out and spread, I think it's going to help so many students. My goodness, how full are you? What's the supply versus the demand, and what can we do specifically? You shared that there are always, you know, there's always an opportunity. So what do you need right now?
So we actually just finished up a food drive. We do a number of food drives each semester. Mainly we just target people here on campus, but it's definitely open to the communities, local communities. We are always in need of food, and also monetary donations, as I mentioned, are definitely welcome. We would love to have those as well. any type of non-perishable foods, macaroni, soups, ravioli, things that they can eat easily here on campus are great, because a lot of times they're here all day long and they need things that maybe they can just pop in the microwave and eat between class to help them go. Snacks, fruit, that kind of stuff. Any donations can be made either through the Student Activities Office, which is in the Student Center, which is M105, or they can also be made at the Hawk's Nest, which is located in our administration building, and that is Building L on campus. And the room number is L138. Any monetary donations do have to come through the Student Activities Office, though, just so we can make sure we get them a receipt for that.
Okay. I remember going and touring the Hawk's Nest right when it started, and I'm told that it's sort of expanding by leaps and bounds. Physically, what does it look like when somebody comes in? You said it's kind of the concept of the grocery store. Tell us a little more about what students are going to find when they actually get there.
So we try to make it as welcoming and homey atmosphere as possible, because we want everyone to feel welcome in there. I know some students still feel like they don't want anyone to know about it, or they're ashamed that they may need some assistance. So we try to make them feel as comfortable and as welcome when they come into that room. So we actually have just some inspirational signs hanging up on the wall, just to kind of make it look a little more welcoming and homey. But we do have shelves pretty much like you would see at a grocery store, and everything set up kind of in their category. So all the breakfast stuff is together, all the soups and food. So you feel like you're actually going and going shopping, not like you're getting
a handout
from somebody. So I think that makes it a little more comfortable for them to come. We do have students over there helping them out, so it's kind of other students on their level, and they can interact with them. We put out information over there for other resources in the area, other resources on campus, and then also just events that are going on so that they can see other things that are going on campus as well.
Great. One of the items I know that I like to contribute, just because I collect a lot of these at seminars and different functions, is the sort of the non-throwaway tote bag, the grocery, like the mesh bag or the,
yep,
you know, the plastic.
Yep,
not the little thin plastic bags, but
yes,
the bigger ones. Can you use some more of those still?
Yes, we always need those. We try to give each student one of those to use, so then they can bring it with them. And then that's also a way for them to, if they do want to, kind of keep it more private that they're going to use a service. Everybody uses those bags now, so no one's really going to know where it came from or where the food came from. So we definitely could use those as well.
Okay. And you mentioned personal items as well. Personal care items can be acquired.
Yes. Shampoos, conditioners, toothbrushes, toothpaste, soap, body wash. We have a lot of people who donate the stuff that they collect from, like, hotels when they're on trips. They just, you know, they don't use it, but they just grab it and bring it back and give it to us, and that's great as well.
Okay. Hours for the Hawk's Nest?
We are open Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and then on Fridays from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., and then we're always available if anyone needs to contact us outside of that, and my phone number and everything is on there so that they can reach me.
Okay. Would you share it for someone that might be listening, interested in helping to spread the word?
Yep. My telephone number is 313-317-1756, and then you can also email me at mlearl1@hfcc.edu.
Okay, very good. Well, Mandy, we know as a fact that this is a service that is certainly being very welcomed on campus by our students and faculty alike, and, you know, everybody around is going to benefit when our students are feeling good and satisfied physically as well as emotionally.
Yeah. And I would just like to say that we have had a tremendous amount of support from faculty and staff, and also students on campus that want to help other students on campus. So just thank you to everyone that has donated or supported us in some way so far.
Oh, it's nice to know. Thank you. Again, the physical location of the Hawk's Nest in the administration building in L building, room 138, and on campus here in the Student Center building in building M. If you wanted to stop in at the Student Activities Office, that's room M105. Right when you walk in the main entrance, just turn right and we'll find you. Yeah. Excellent. Well, Mandy, continued success with this program. We're very grateful that you're here and everyone that's supporting it. We know are doing wonderful things in the lives of our students, and that's really why we're here ultimately, isn't it? To try to transform lives, as we say, in our HFC mission, and this in some small way is a part of it. So we're very grateful, and maybe some big way for some of our students
definitely
really have to rely on this to be there. Is there a favorite item, something that you just can't keep stocked that we can try to focus on, or is it kind of an even across the board kind of thing?
Well, the students really love the snacks, so like their granola bars, the pretzels, and that kind of stuff. And I think it's to kind of help them get through the day here, just things that they can grab. But anything that's just really quick and easy for them to make. So if it's anything that they have to add a lot of other items to it to actually make a meal, they tend to shy away from those because they just want to do something real quick and easy.
So not necessarily the flour or the cake mix, but the cupcakes that are prepackaged and already made, or the healthier snack, little snack packs and things like that.
And like anything that's individual, so like the little individual microwave macaroni and cheeses, the individual fruit cups, stuff like that, that's easy for them, like I said, just to carry around with them if they need it any time or on campus.
Got it. Well, thank you, Mandy, very much. Again, Mandy Earle joining us today, Student Activities Associate, representing the Hawk's Nest. And the food drive was successful. It ended today.
Yes, it ends today, and it has been amazing. We've had a number of instructors that have talked to their students about it, and they've all gotten really active with it. So it was great. Great success.
Excellent. Well, we look forward to it continuing. Thank you again for your time today. You're heading over to the honors event?
Yes, I'm going to talk to all our honors program students about ways that they can get involved on campus and volunteer.
Wonderful. Well, this was good preview for you, I guess. So excellent. Well, continued success with this.
Thank you.
And we thank you very much for your time and effort going into this.
Yes, thank you for having me today. I appreciate
it. Certainly. It's our pleasure. The new WHFR Journal, it is 1:44. We're going to hear a message or two and then continue to share some insight and information that we think you might like as we wrap up this show. Stay with us.
I'm Amy Brown, the Executive Director of the NOAA Project. Our mission is to empower low-income and homeless Detroiters to achieve stability by serving as the first step on the journey to self-sufficiency. We invite you to partner with us by visiting our website, noaaprojectdetroit.org. Our bag lunch, which feeds over 500 participants weekly, is what brings people in the door. And then we work with them to address other issues such as housing, food, and transportation through one-on-one case management. We welcome you to be part of NOAA by helping serve lunches or collecting basic needs items such as gloves, hats, underwear, or socks. Please like us on Facebook, visit our website, noaaprojectdetroit.org, or email us at info@noaaprojectdetroit to learn more.
What up, WHFR Lower listeners? It's your boy Baby B, and I am back. The house party has made a major move to Tuesdays from 10 a.m. to 12 noon on the only station that's making waves, 89.3 WHFR. I've got the best in hip-hop and R&B, so join me each and every Tuesday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. I'll be burning the house down. Check your smoke detectors. We about to turn up. We about to have fun. Let's get it. Let's go.
Hi, I'm Julie Bates, and I'm an ovarian cancer survivor. September is Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month. Saturday, September 16th, the Michigan Ovarian Cancer Alliance is sponsoring its sixth annual awareness event at the Village of Rochester Hills. Our event is called Wheels and Teal and is a combination 5K run, walk, and car show. We expect about 60 teal and turquoise cars from the 50s and 60s. We'd love to have you join us on Saturday, September 16th. To register or for more information, go to wheelsandteal.com. Online registration for the run walk is open now through Friday, September 15th. We also accept same-day registrations. or you're welcome to come just for the cars. For more information about the Michigan Ovarian Cancer Alliance, go to mioca.org.
This is the new WHFR Journal. I'm Susan McGraw, along with Alan Mazurek, and it is about 11 minutes before 2 in the afternoon. We're broadcasting live from our Studio A here in our facilities at Henry Ford College in Dearborn, Michigan. We are grateful that you're listening to us today. Thanks again to Mandy Earle. Oh, my gosh, Alan, what a wonderful service that the Hawk's Nest is providing. And we, you know, just on our break here, talking a little bit about students that we've seen come in, spend the entire day here, and then as we leave the campus, we see them at the bus stop or waiting for a bus or walking, sometimes in the weather that's not so good. So any additional support that we can provide so that our students have not only the environment for learning, but also the mental capacity to be at their best so they can learn all this great information that we're trying to share with them.
And certainly a great opportunity for people to, you know, to get what they need, but also if you have the information again for people who want to help and volunteer, the email address, and because I mean obviously they need donations, and I'm assuming that she mentioned that there are students who like to volunteer and help out and sort of, you know, work from the from the store end of it to a certain extent, opportunities for people to volunteer and be a part of their community here on campus.
Yeah, great idea. So again, Mandy Earle has been the coordinator of this Hawk's Nest for a bit here, and her direct telephone number, if you want to reach out and say, I own a grocery store and I have all of this product I'd like to share, or I'd like to contribute some money, or whatever the case may be, 313-317-1756. 313-317-1756, or her direct email address is mlearl1@hfcc.edu, mlearl1@hfcc.edu. So we wish them great success as they're really, really changing lives here on our campus. It's never too early to be checking things to make sure that we are safe in our own communities. And, you know, you've heard probably that October is National Fire Prevention Month. That's okay. That's a thing that's around. Every October we go through different special things with the area fire departments and so on. But here in the Dearborn community and in Melvindale as well, the fire department is still offering the opportunity to have free smoke alarms installed in their homes. So it's not only free, but it's also installed in our own homes here in the community of Dearborn as well as Melvindale. And this is funded through some type of a grant that the city has acquired, and they're you know, making this available, and I understand still, based on what we just received from the mayor's office, still have resources available. So, oh my goodness, if you don't have smoke alarms or you're not sure if they're working or whatever the case may be, or they're not installed properly, why would you not call to see, have somebody come out from the fire department, whether you live in Dearborn or in the city of Melvindale, and get some working smoke alarms out there? And we have that available. I am bad at that. I don't know about you, but I you know, when it starts to beep, then I address it. In the meantime, I tend not to, and I know that's terrible. We really are supposed to have these checked on a, you know, what do they say, every month or something. You're supposed to check the batteries.
Well, the beep drives my dogs crazy. It like sends them into spasm, so I make sure that we don't get to the point of beeping. Usually you pick a day a year and you say October is Fire Prevention Month, and my birthday happens to fall in October, and that's always been what I've done.
Oh,
is
smart.
You know, it seems rather, you know, unglorious, but literally when I wake up on my birthday after I make the kids' lunches, that's one of the things that I do is change the batteries in the smoke alarms. It seems very tedious and lame, but I know, but you know, sometimes you just do what you got to do.
I think that's a brilliant idea. I think I've heard something like pick an anniversary or the birthday. I think that's a wonderful
something you're always going to remember.
Well, hopefully your birthday is something like that. But you know, for safety reasons, these free alarms do need to be installed by somebody from the fire department, or there are some community partners, so you have to make an appointment, and their appointments are Monday through Friday. And I'll give you a number here in just a second to call to get on that appointment list. But they've been doing this program for over 10 years, and just we do need to note that rental properties don't qualify for this because of different building codes, I guess, or something for rental properties. So
For liability purposes.
And I guess they're required. There's a different group that sort of checks out rental properties because they legally have to have working smoke alarms to be considered rental properties in the city. So that makes sense, I guess. But if you are in a rental property and you're not sure that your alarms are working, or you don't, it's very obvious that you don't have smoke alarms, then I'll give you that number too.
I was going to say, let's make sure they get that one.
It's actually the same number, so that's a good thing. Yes, as I'm comparing it here. So
you may not be eligible to get the free smoke alarms installed, but you have a resource to help you and make sure that, number one, your landlord is legal.
Exactly.
And number two, that you're safe.
Yes, and which is the bottom line, of course. So here's that number. It's 313-943-2134. 313-943-2134. And this, again, is in the community of Dearborn as well as Melvindale. And one thing our fire chief, Joe Murray, indicated in this release, that it's so sad when the department responds to house fires, and they have, he's noting, in recent years, to fatal house fires in the Dearborn community, and they note that there were no smoke detectors. It's not only were they not working, but they didn't even exist there. So how can you at least have a fighting chance against something that we think isn't going to happen, but you know, statistics show that, in fact, it's possible. We can be as safe as we want to be, but it's still possible. So use this resource. Call this number. It's free, no obligation to invest money in any, you know, alarm system or anything. So again, here's the number, 313-943-2134. It's only common sense, I think, that would have us doing that. Tomorrow, I think it is, tomorrow on campus, there's that document shredding day going on. I don't know about you, but that pile gets bigger and bigger at home.
I think we burn through a shredder every 18 months or so at home. You know, once you buy it, you know, whatever store, and it works for about 6-9 months, and then it starts to grind and chug-a-chug, and 6 to 9 months later, it's dead. And the documents start piling up.
Yes, exactly. And so every year, the city of Dearborn does the free document shredding day. I heard somebody talking about it earlier on our airwaves, but I think it's worth mentioning again, particularly if you are very, very concerned and not wanting to throw things away with potentially important information, and we certainly can't be too sure these days. For our safety and security. And if you don't have the resource to shred your own stuff, well, the DPW yard on Greenfield Road, just south of Rotunda here in Dearborn, is open to Dearborn residents, and you have to give proof of residency, so show an ID or something that you live in Dearborn, because it's overwhelmingly, you know, popular. Mm-hmm. There's a limit of 5 boxes of personal documents per person, I think a maximum weight 50 pounds. Point is, if you have some stuff, bring it, and they will take care of it. So it's their shredding day, and it's from 8 to noon at the DPW on Greenfield, south of Rotunda, and that's tomorrow, taking place tomorrow. So have some peace of mind and get that done the right way. So really, really helps. I know some people toss it into their the fireplaces kind of a thing, and then they don't realize, because they've tossed all this stuff in, they get a pretty crazy fire, and so that's not really the safest way to handle your documents that you want to get rid of. So keep that in mind. this one thing to note, and you are originally from Dearborn, Alan.
I spent some time here.
And we know that the Dearborn schools have ebbed and flowed. My mom went to Fordson High School, which I understand at the time, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought, and she used to say this very proudly, that at the time it was considered the largest high school in the United States.
It very well may have been. My mother-in-law went to Fordson for high school as well. So
Well, there you go. So we know that in our local paper, we are seeing and hearing the buzz about this, that the Dearborn Public Schools is exploring changing some boundaries and expanding some schools, because we're at a situation now where we're at that overflow point again. And
it's always a touchy subject.
I know.
My wife's a teacher. She teaches in Woodhaven, and you know, it's sort of been explored where you have, you know, certain segments of the city where the population is different and growing, and other areas where maybe it's not the same. It's a very touchy subject.
Yeah. Just recently at a special expansion meeting in late August, actually, that went on, it was very well attended. There were a variety of presentations about three different topics related to dealing with some, maybe a few small expansions or maybe making one big expansion. Hard to say. And then also the idea of changing boundaries for what school your students, your children will be going to. The one thing that came out of it that we are being told is that the cost factor for this could potentially be up to $10 million if one of the three plans is actually introduced and executed. So, yeah, that's sort of that good news, bad news. Good news that the community is vibrant and doing well, but bad news that we now have to try to sort of tweak things up and shake things up to account for all the students coming into the district. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. We'll kind of keep an eye on that. And,
I'm sure it's something that's not going to go away. It's something that we're going to be talking about for a while. It tends to be one of those things that, yeah, once it's presented and the public gets involved, and obviously, you know, it's something that needs to be addressed at some point. Everyone's going to want to have their say on it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. So I sort of call that my good news, bad news, all in one story. That's the one thing that is happening that we are really all going to, I think, in some way be affected by, but also hopefully benefit from as they try to work out those issues. Speaking of a benefit, that Big Band Gala that we talked about a couple of weeks ago is happening tomorrow right here on our campus.
I was going to say, right outside, right?
I know, right outside these windows. I'm so excited. Looking forward to this event, the Big Band Gala at the Pavilion, and it is featuring the swinging sounds of our own Henry Ford Big Band, Rick Goward, director, and special guest singer Karen Newman. All proceeds are benefiting the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra, one of many wonderful, wonderful opportunities to support our own Dearborn Symphony. The event starts around 6 with cocktails, dinners at 7, and it just gets better and better from there. So we understand that there is potential for a limited seat here or there, but really I'm sharing this because I want to make sure that you understand that the Dearborn Symphony is doing everything they can to keep vibrant in our community and moving forward. If there are ways that you can contribute or support the Dearborn Symphony, whether by attending a wonderful symphony performance, next one's coming up in October, or events like this, these special little offshoot things going on, we look forward to your participation as well and cannot wait. Thanks again to Gloria Nysick, who was here a couple weeks ago, and everybody that's involved in putting this Big Band Gala on at the Pavilion right here at Henry Ford College. We know it's going to be a great success. Speaking of great success, we know you love the blues music, so we keep it going, and it is going to come on strong here in just a minute or two with our own Kitty Love and her version of Highway 61. I think that's it for today, Alan. We thank our special guests, Mandy Earle, representing student activities and the Hawk's Nest on campus, and Sam Bazzi, who is a math professor here at the college and now handling the role of Arab American community liaison for Henry Ford College. Lots going on, lots of vibrant stuff on our community and in our community as well. So we thank you for listening to our WHFR Journal, new WHFR Journal, and please note that our opinions, our ideas, our topics, our Well, they're coming from us. Yeah, they're our own and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this community, this campus community, et cetera, et cetera. So thank you for tuning in today. We look forward to talking again next week. And as always, if you're interested in sharing some thoughts, some suggestions for upcoming shows, don't hesitate to give us a shout. You can reach me directly, scmcgraw@hfcc.edu, scmcgraw@hfcc.edu. We did have a caller last week who shared some opinion, and we are grateful for that, and always take notice when our listeners want to hear certain things. We're going to do our best to make sure we provide them. So thank you for listening. Have a wonderful afternoon, a lovely weekend. Enjoy the sunshine.
This is WHFR Dearborn, WHFR.FM, making waves.